The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Oh my gosh, we've got that down.
That's frightening.
I know. And for those of you who don't know, it's funny, listen to, I don't know, last week and every week before that. Oh my gosh. Well,
I think we had it down last week.
We kind of did. We were creeping up on it. So let's see. This week, we're going to chat about activism. And, you know, some people think that activism is, I don't know. They don't see it as patriotic. I think activism's super patriotic, actually. And considering where some of our policies and things in our country are going, I think it's the only route to go. But there's a fine line between activism and just, I don't know, throwing a tantrum, I guess, maybe, for lack of a better description. So we have Catherine Duran on with us this morning, a woman who's not throwing a tantrum. I was expecting to hear her laughing. I'm like, I got nothing for that, Catherine. let's see. What do we have for a bio on you? We have formerly the Northwestern U.S. Regional Director for a Nutritional Supplement and Pharmaceutical Company, a health-related business consultant, and a real estate investor. She's now a full-time activist in the restoration of American liberty, and most importantly, a homeschool mom of a bright 13-year-old son. Realizing she knew little about the education system, discovering the unsettling details of Common Core state standards prompted her to begin researching both sides of the issue. Currently an active opponent, she co-founded Concerned Parents of Elk Grove, whose focus has been research and fact-finding, assembling a collection of evidence regarding the history, foundation, and the key players involved. Oh my gosh, well, the key players involved, that's like a full-time job for a whole bunch of people. Yeah, that's a huge one. So you probably know lots of our friends. I know for sure you know our friend Debbie Bocciacalupi.
Yes, I do.
Which I didn't know when you first called, or when I first called you, or however we did that, because I got connected to you from Louise up there in Yreka, who's been working on this vaccine issue.
That's right. Wonderful Louise.
Wonderful Louise, who is a very productive activist. I guess maybe we'll just add the word productive in front just to differentiate.
That's fantastic.
And for those of you who don't typically tune in to us, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And on there is great information from Catherine, all sorts of links about her. And I'm in the process of posting the declaration that we'll talk about later. How about that?
Oh, we need to talk about some of her other appearances.
Well, she's had other appearances.
Yes.
Hey, how was it on The Blaze? Okay, sorry, back up. Tell us. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. We're just like assuming everyone knows this. Why were you on The Blaze? Tell us about what started all this.
Well, you know, initially, I was a... Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there. I was a Glenn Beck devotee. I was one of the first subscribers to The Blaze, and when he started a show, after he ended a show on Fox, and I had heard about, he did a show one time in I think sometime in February of 2013, and it was about C-Scope in Texas. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness, wow. You know, my son's in sixth grade. Fifth grade, I think, at the
that's
time.
That's Texas's version of Common Core, is that correct?
That's their version of, yes, it was very similar to Common Core.
Right.
And I thought, well, thank goodness we don't have that here. And a couple weeks later, he had on his show, he did a whole show on Common Core. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, this is really happening. This is really going to happen. And so, you know, rather than getting all hysterical and all that, I just started doing some research. And then...
Didn't you get hysterical?
Did not get hysterical. I don't really like to talk about stuff that I don't know about, so I didn't until I knew something about it. enough about it to that I could back it up. And so I found myself becoming an activist. It just happened. Just one thing after another, it just happened. And I got into a group. We organized a group called Concerned Parents of Elk Grove. And we did that for the purpose initially to start to do a community forum. And we did a community forum here in Elk Grove. And so, you know, we were bringing awareness. We had three proponents, three opponents. It was a great panel. We had 100 people show up. It was really terrific. But everybody went home and pretty much went back to sleep. And so in the that was November of 2013. And then after the holidays, I found out that they were doing benchmark testing at my son's school. Actually, he was in sixth grade at the time. And so I didn't know when he had taken the first set of benchmark tests. They didn't say anything. They didn't tell anything. They didn't say, you know, make sure your kid gets a great breakfast and all the usual stuff that they do before testing. They didn't prep him for it. So and no one knew about my activism or anything at the time. So anyway, when it came time, sometime around February, March, I decided I had developed a very good relationship with the teachers and the principal, and I decided I'd better let them know at some point that my son will be opting out of testing. But before I did that, I made sure that they felt comfortable with me and they didn't think that I was there to, you know, rock their world and, you know, make it a big, you know, disaster and be a thorn in their side and all of that. So they liked me.
Why did you want to opt him out at that point? Did you know what kind of questions they were going to ask?
Well, no, we didn't. I didn't. I just knew that the test is, essentially the test is what drives the curriculum. And being opposed to Common Core as a whole, one of the ways to start shutting that down is to, you know, throw a wrench in the whole process, which would be the testing. So at that time, it didn't even really matter to me what was on the test or any of that. We had no idea because that was the first year of rollout for the test, and we had never seen it before. So East Coast states, I think they had been doing the SBAC and the PARC testing, but we hadn't had any testing out here in California. So no. So I just knew that he was going to be opting out, and I didn't, you know, the data collection is another big, a big issue, and, you know, trying to bring awareness and all that stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that he, was protected from that, and it's, you know, I'm encouraging everyone else to opt out. So eventually I had the conversation with his teacher, and his teacher was thrilled. This was a parent-teacher conference that we had, and I said, so I just want to let you know, I don't know how the teachers feel about Common Core and what's going on with the testing and all that, but, you know, my son Christopher will be opting out of testing. And he just sat there for a second, and he said, awesome. Oh. I wish every parent would do that. I wish the whole school would do that. So I was thrilled. I was so happy that he said that. So a few weeks went by. Still, I was, you know, buddies with the principal and all that. And my son, it got close to testing time, and my son decided that he wanted to be an activist too. And his friends, his classmates, were all complaining about the test prep and all of that, and he said, well, you don't have to take the test. So they found, they were looking at it as a way of getting out of the test, and he thought, this is great, everybody's going to love me. So he begged me for 5 days, Mom, can I please take some opt-out forms? Please let me take some opt-out forms. And I thought, okay, this is great. This is, people are going to skin me alive if they find out that, you know, I sucked my son into this. They're going to look at this, you know, completely, you know, not the way that it actually is. And so I was very reluctant because I knew that there could be some blowback. And but he begged me and he insisted, and I finally relented. So I let him take the forms, and my mom and I were going to take him somewhere after school, so we went to pick him up. And he got in the car, and he looked a little bummed, and I said, so how'd it go today? He says, well, it was all fine until the principal made an announcement on the loudspeaker, and she said, there was inappropriate material handed out, and it needed to be collected. And then she went around to all the classrooms, and this was all of the classrooms, not just his, because he was handing them out at recess, and collected and just essentially
bullied
these kids into giving these opt-out forms that they had received in envelopes back to her. So
no
what
kid.
What were the opt-out forms? Were they these forms that came from you, or was this something that was produced through the Common Core system?
That's a great question. Actually, it's no, not through the Common Core system. No, no. The last thing that they wanted was opt-out. But the Pacific Justice Institute, and you can go, anyone can go to pacificjusticeinstitute.org and download a printable opt-out form and submit that for each child at the beginning of the school year. And anyway, so I had used that form, which, and it was accompanied by a letter, too. I did a sort of an explanatory letter. This school, by the way, is about 95%+ Hispanic. And many, many of the, most of the families, many of the families there, it's English is a second language, so there's a language issue, and I didn't have a Spanish version. So it was important that the kids that had gotten these were the kids, most of them were the kids that were better, I want to say they were higher level students. They were just, they were students that were, their parents would really care. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it had contact information on it and everything so people could get a hold of me to get an explanation and that kind of thing. So I thought it was very important that everybody had an understanding that they had an option and what this was about without, you know, hysteria. And so anyway, it hurt his feelings. You know, he felt really bad, and he thought that he had done something wrong. And I said, okay, well, I'll just pop in real quick and see the principal. So
just pop in and have a chat.
like grown-ups with ideas, yeah. What a great idea.
Let me just go see how she feels about this and, you know, smooth things over for her.
A little school chat.
So I went in, and she made me wait for 5 minutes. And I finally went in and sat down, and she was very upset with me. I can't believe that you pulled your son into this. I'm really very disappointed. And I said, hey, he insisted. This was not something I wanted to do. I just wanted to let you know. You know, he had my full permission to do it. But, you know, he's exercising his right to hand these out to his classmates. And she said, you had no business doing that, and it has to go through the district. And all I really wanted to tell her was, I really don't think you want to prevent him from doing this. I really don't, because I knew that this could turn into a big thing if she did. And I didn't, and she had done such a great job with that school. It was amazing. This was Mark Twain Elementary School. It was scheduled for shutdown. She had been there for a decade, and she had turned this around. She had turned it into a, you know, from a gang-infested, just a pit, to a really wonderful school with great teachers and kids in uniforms, and, you know, they had lots of success. And she should be very proud of herself, and I was very proud of her, too. And so I didn't want this to be blowback on her. So, but she didn't want to hear it, so she just said,
wow.
I'm very uncomfortable with this. We're going to have to end this meeting. And I stood up and reached for the stack of opt-out forms that she had taken from my son, and she slammed her hand down, and I pulled back, and I said, you know, respectfully, I'm going to leave one with you, and I'm taking the rest, because first of all, I pay for those. I produce all of those myself. I do all the letters. I print them from my machine. I pay for that stuff. It costs me a fortune. And I give you one. You can make copies, that kind of thing. And she reported that as funny thing though. I was she says this meeting is over. I said okay. So I turned around. I said have a wonderful day. Walked out of the office, and as soon as I passed through the threshold of her door, she started shouting at me.
Yikes!
Yeah, she said. You have to leave. You have to leave. You have to leave. I'm like, okay, I'm gone.
Wow.
Do you see my back?
So you have to wear process. You have to wear the Typhoid Mary name tag now at the elementary school.
She had reported this to the district as essentially an assault.
Oh no.
What?
And I really didn't have any idea what that was all about. My best friend actually drove my son to school the next day. We live in Elk Grove, and the school was in Sacramento. And he said that the police were out there waiting for me. And I said,
out front? Like while you were just coming out of the school?
Yeah, they were. He drove my son to school, and then called me and said, yeah, the police were out here waiting for you. And they were disappointed that you hadn't driven him in. And I said, did you give him our address?
Yeah, no
so,
kidding. Sorry, they're
didn't
disappointed.
Hear from him.
Yeah, you hate to disappoint the police when they're waiting for you.
I hated that.
On that happy note, we really do have to take a break. I can't wait to see
what happens next.
Before we started, I told her, I go, we take breaks at the quarter hour, but sometimes we blow it. Yeah, this would be one of those times. we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. We're speaking with Catherine Duran. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We've uploaded all sorts of fun information for you. You'll like it. We'll be right back.
Slowly go by and feed them on your dreams. The one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.
And then the police come.
They tell you you can't love your child.
Oh, no, that's in Catherine's version of the song.
Could you hear me singing?
No, but, yeah, then the police come. So we're speaking with Catherine Duran, who's stepping up, trying to weigh in on behalf of her child at school and
staying involved in her child's
staying
education.
Staying involved,
which
actually,
is, I think what all parents should be doing.
And her son decided to get involved, and he was handing out op forms for the Common Core testing, and then the principal went berserk, and the police showed up. So, did they go to your house?
Well, ultimately, they did. Actually, Monday, I didn't take him to school on Monday either, and. My friend Matt took him to school that day too, and after he dropped him off, he called me and said, "You know, I was headed out there and passed a black and white that would be a city cop fly by heading the other way." And he says, "I'm pretty sure they're headed to the house." And I said, "Yeah, probably." And sure enough, 15 minutes later, but I was in the shower. He had to wait quite a while for me, and I thought maybe he could come back later, but no, he was not going anywhere. So anyway, I talked to him for a little bit. He handed me a suspension notice. The principal had gone, and you know, there's a process for that. And
you were suspended
ultimately,
from
what
school,
I found
or?
Out later was that she had made up a scenario where she felt unsafe. She had told him that she had felt unsafe and that I was very threatening to her. And so I needed to be suspended from campus. So I was not allowed to set foot on the campus or, at any time without permission. From written permission from the principal.
Oh.
And so I thought that was...
Could you stand
I kind of giggled a little bit. And the officer was very nice, and I said, do you have any kids? And he says, yeah. And I said, well, do you know anything about Common Core? And he says, no, I really don't. My wife probably does, but I know nothing. So I gave him some opt-out forms, and he goes, gee, thanks. He goes, this is great. I'll just hand these to my wife.
And
so hopefully opted his kids out.
Did you tell him to make sure and have his kids take him around the playground and stuff?
Yeah. Hand them out. Be sure they hand them out around their campus, too. And... So anyway, you know, the thing is that I called right away, and I called over the course of 14 days, it actually worked out to be about 3 weeks, and I called every single day, and she would not take my calls, and she would not return my calls.
This is the principal wouldn't take
this
your calls?
This is the principal.
What is she, five?
Well, and then an ombuds person called me.
Really?
She didn't want to be called an ombudswoman. She's an ombuds person, and she called and tried to, you know...
I'm sorry. What is that?
That's like a... Well, the only where... I mean, you have ombudsmen for, like, senior citizens and stuff. They weigh in. Do they have them for the school system?
Yeah, you know, what they're trying to do is to find a conflict resolution. So they are, you know, looking for ways to facilitate a meeting, and this is what she was talking to me about. And she actually said a couple of times, which just really threw me off. She said, "Well, will you feel safe going on campus?" And I thought, "Why the heck would I not feel safe?"
They're 5 years old. I mean, they're fifth graders. Come on, they could do some damage.
Yeah, they could do some serious damage. And then I read the details of the suspension letter, and I realized that she had made up, I don't have it in front of me, but she had made up a story about, you know, how she felt unsafe and that I was threatening. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is, you have got to be kidding me. So, you know, I said, what I want to do is have a meeting with her, absolutely. And then the superintendent, after this, okay, this hit the news. This went completely viral on Facebook. It actually ended up going, you know, I mean, absolutely everywhere. And
how did it get to that point? I mean, from a private conversation.
Well, it was pretty outrageous that they would suspend me for, you know, having a conversation with the principal over my son handing out opt-out forms, exercising his First Amendment rights, on campus. So that was pretty outrageous. And, you know, I mean, it didn't really upset me that this was something that was going to make the news at that point, because this is something that needs, you know, it is sensational and all that, and it is a big deal. And it is... hopefully was something that was bringing attention to this issue. Why would the school make a big deal out of handing out these opt-out forms and saying that it's inappropriate, when the truth of the matter is that the schools, it is their responsibility actually to give that option. I don't want to say the word should. I'm sort of in hate, a little, having a little hate, love-hate relationship with the word should. They should be, they're supposed to inform parents of the right to opt out of these standardized tests. And since they weren't doing that,
Go ahead. Yeah, you were doing that, since they weren't.
Yep, I was doing that. And so, and the more and more we learn about the testing, and by now, of course, we know, you know, infinitely more than we did at the time. But even then, just looking at, you know, connecting the dots from, you know, this point and this point and this point, and, you know, it all checks out, and it's frightening, and it's too much for, you know, the average parent who's working and has a, you know, some semblance of a life to absorb and to try to get all upset about. So, I mean, we just wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to know, to understand you have the right to opt your children out, and here are some concerns for you to look at.
Now, how many parents or teachers at this point in time had contacted you? Anybody?
had contacted me?
Yeah, about
the
issue.
From the school?
Yeah. Any parents?
Yeah,
no parents, no teachers?
Everyone just ran and hid in the bushes?
They, as a matter of fact, my son had transferred into a different classroom and had a new teacher at that time, and his previous teacher was, who he just adored, and they had a great relationship, wouldn't even look at him.
Wow.
And so I had to explain to him that, you know, unfortunately, he is feeling pressured to be favorable to this whole Common Core thing and the testing and all that. And you know, he fears for his job. My son had been around me long enough to know what was going on. Heard the news, heard the reports, heard, you know, a lot of the video of other people, other teachers, and you know, teachers on the East Coast are jumping up and down. And I mean, there's a firestorm in New York State and other states where they've had this a lot longer than we have. And so he's seen the reaction from those teachers and parents on the East Coast. And so he was very well aware.
They do like it?
They do not like it.
Okay.
They do not like it, and they've just been having a horrible time trying to, especially New York, trying to get out of it. It is a nightmare for them. But anyway, my son, little patriot that he is, he just wanted to continue to take those opt-out forms and disseminate them. And he insisted, "Mom, please let me take them." So he'd hide them in his pockets. He'd hide them in his backpack. And he'd hand them out, you know, and he was secretive about it. And I got a little chuckle and everything until the following week when he was, and I could tell, you know, you just know when your kid's sick, and he's never sick. So he was faking being sick, and he was crying and didn't want to get out of bed. And I said, "What's going on?" And I'm texting a friend of mine who's Meg Norris, is a Georgia teacher who quit her job as a seventh grade teacher in order to fight Common Core, to fight against Common Core. And I was texting her what was going on. "Oh, crazy morning, blah, blah, blah." And as this thing developed, I was texting her the story, what was going on. "I can't believe that they did this to him." I said, as he was telling me what had gone on in the last couple of days, I was absolutely infuriated. And I just said, first of all, I cannot believe that I've been calling several times a day. The principal will not return my calls, and she will not take my calls. Meanwhile, his teacher had seen him reach for something in his desk and put it in his pocket, and she asked what it was, and then ultimately asked him to open his lunch pail. They had checked backpacks of other kids, and "What's in your pocket? You're going to need to pull it out." And he says, "No, I'm sorry, I can't do that." So she says, "Well, you're going to have to go to the office." So she sends him to the office. This is a lunch break. He's there for 90 minutes, and the principal is going to give him, first of all, she gets another teacher involved so that there's two of them, and says, "Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do the right thing and give me your opt-out forms." "No, I'm sorry, I can't do that," he says.
So they assumed he had opt-out forms, or did they see him?
Yeah, he did, but he didn't want to give them up. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and so she says, "Well, you know, why do you not want to let me have them?" And he said, "Because my mother pays for them." And they're not intended for the district, they're intended for other kids. And she said, "No, I'm going to ask you to do one more time to do the right thing." And then so eventually what she did was she sent him out into the hallway to eat his lunch by himself. And he started crying when he was telling me this story. And I said, "Christopher, why did you not call me? Because I told you, if anything happens and you don't feel right, give me a call." And he said, "I did. It was the first thing I said to her was, 'Please, may I call my mother?' And she said, 'No, at this time you may not call your mother.'"
Oh, whoopsie.
So, yeah.
And then the hammer fell.
Not happy.
Okay, we have to take a quick break, then we're going to find out what happened. This is great. We're going to have like a cliffhanger program all morning or afternoon. Yeah, she didn't tell me we were going to play cliffhanger. I like it.
I know.
So we're speaking with Catherine Duran. We're talking about, I guess, activism. But it's interesting, we're talking about child activism, which is pretty awesome. And apparently the school system doesn't like it. So if you have a child who thinks he might be an activist, he better make friends now and swear them to secrecy. they better start building their little underground early. Oh, my gosh.
Seriously.
This is horrible. You're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
So wonderful, a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me away, teach me how to be sensitive.
This is the theme song that the principal plays. Classic. Oh my gosh, you're rejoining We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Catherine Duran out of Elk Grove. So we're talking about the Gestapo at a school in Sacramento.
That's right.
So Catherine, when they put your son out in the hallway...
And said he couldn't call you.
Said he couldn't call you.
Right.
Did they, even at that point, they never called you and told you there was a problem?
No.
They just left him out there crying.
Just left him out there.
Did
he get to go back to class?
Eventually he got to go back to class, and since it was, you know, he'd been out there for 90 minutes, it was getting closer to the end of the day, so he did get to return to class, but he didn't tell me for 2 days that this had happened. And, you know, this was a huge problem for me because of the fact that he trusted and loved his teachers and the principal.
That's over.
And this was a huge betrayal, and he didn't know really how to... He'd never experienced anything like that, so he didn't know how to articulate that. And so that was the thing that had just finally gotten me outraged, because the rest of it is understandable. You know, and I went on the news, and I had spoken to several radio shows, and I said, you know, the teachers and our administrators, our school districts, our school boards, they're fed what they would, you know, with this Common Core machine, what the government wants them to, you know, the narrative that they want them to use. They know what they know. They don't know why we're pushing back, except that that they're also instructed that, you know, we are tinfoil hat wearing people, we're fear driven, we are misinformed and uninformed and all of that. And of course, you know, the opposite is actually true. So, you know, it's understandable that they don't, they're scared. They're running scared too, and they also have to hit their numbers too. They've got to, you know, it was really important for them to get close to 100% participation in this test. So,
and that's really what's driving this. This is what's driving it. Is they have to hit these participation numbers,
exactly,
or it affects their funding.
Exactly. So it comes back to money for the school. So
they believe that it was going to affect their funding. And that was the important thing, you know, what they believe and their lack of information. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. And I knew this. Those kind of things are understandable. You know, understanding that they don't have the information that they need and what's happening. And you see this, you know, not just in issues like this, but you see this in all kinds of things and all kinds of areas and all kinds of issues that pop up where, you know, these teachers, they are fear driven. And they are doing really, really, they're making really bad choices. Really bad. They're doing really bad things like this. You know, none of that stuff was, you know, none of what went on with my son was okay with any parent. And that's one of the reasons why this story got such traction, is because it was outrageous what they had done to him.
And, what did they say when you, I mean, because I'm sure you had the opportunity at some point to say, what were you thinking? I mean, how did they defend themselves, or the news media asked them? Did they just not respond
to anybody? They were interviewed. Initially, the district said that they tried to make the story out that I was actually handing out opt-out forms to children on campus. And so we got that
clarified. You're just hiding in the bushes trying to be like a fifth grader?
Right, I'm a crazy
kid. Come over here.
Doing crazy illegal things.
Yeah, I think I would have been on the sidewalk.
Pushing him through the fence?
Absolutely.
Would you like Bill to come down and help you? He's got a little free time.
Well, as a matter of fact, just for fun, I did that. One of my partners with Concerned Parents of Elk Grove, we have a big sign that says Stop Common Core. And the big tea party sign is red, white, and blue. And we went out with her, and we've got PVC pipe, you know, frame. So we set it up, and, you know, it's a big, I don't know, 2x4, 2.5x4, I think, banner. And we stood out there on the sidewalk across the street from the school. And it was sort of a double whammy, because we had kids being picked up by their parents from the elementary school, and then there is a charter high school right next door. So it was great, because we had kids walking and wanted to know how they could opt out of the test.
That's classic.
Really fun.
Automatic customers.
Gosh,
right,
it's a
there.
Good,
yeah,
it's
we handed out a couple hundred opt-out forms that day. So
it really worked out for the school. No backlash or anything?
Yeah, no. So,
oh, my gosh.
So what happened next?
So Glenn Beck, I had people were calling me saying, Glenn Beck talked about you on the radio today. And I was like, really? Oh, my gosh, that's so awesome. I love Glenn Beck. And then I got a call from his producer, and, you know, they got us on the show. And it turned out that at the time, Tim Donnelly was working on, he had authored a bill. It was a local control bill. And he was getting ready to present that. And so we both went on the Glenn Beck program the following Monday, and so it was great. Because I had to stay home and drive my son to school, I didn't actually end up going out to Texas for it, and we did it from a satellite studio in Sacramento. But it was great. It was really good to be interviewed by Glenn and tell the story there. So
just out of curiosity, back on the ranch, your son is still going to school, and what's going on there? As you're showing up on Glenn Beck and everything, are they like crazy polite friendly, or are they still?
Well, the teacher was very friendly. The principal never would see me, and because we were contemplating taking some legal action, yeah, taking some legal action, and that's still not off the table, but, you know, again, when my son revisits that whole thing, it's traumatizing for him. It's hurtful, and it's hard for him to talk about. And I'm not going to force him. You know, I mean, there's plenty of other stuff to worry about, and other ways that we're using to shut down Common Core. And it's not going to make or break the deal as far as that's concerned, or the activism or anything as far as that's concerned. And I don't want to cause him any more, you know, trauma than, you know, than what actually happened to him. So he's happy so far. Actually, he's homeschooled now.
Oh, okay. So that's how you solved the problem.
That's how I solved that. You broke up with them. That was pretty much it. And I would have probably done it anyway, although I had been saying for, oh gosh, the longest time, people would say, why don't you homeschool your child? And I'm like, yeah, you don't understand. You know, this is not a good fit. It's not a good fit. And people would say, you know, almost exclusively, people would say, oh, it's not as hard as you think. And I'd say, yeah, but you don't know my kid. And then I finally started saying, yeah, except I would homeschool my child, except he's way smarter than I am.
I hate when that
which
happens.
Is actually true. But he did really well. He did very well. We did very well. We did an online academy, and then we layer on activities and other issues, other subjects in music and things like that. So it's been fantastic, really.
Nice.
So the same, yeah. Just kind of a side note, when you homeschool your child, you're not required to incorporate any of the Common Core standards?
No, you're not, and I don't have to. That's something that's, you know, you have to pay very close attention to whatever curriculum that you choose for school, because if you're aligning with a district charter, or you're in any way connected or reporting to the state, you're doing Common Core. You may be teaching your child, you know, any way that you want, but when it comes to the accountability portion of it, when you're, you know, if you consent to do the test is Common Core aligned. It's going to be the SBAC test here in California. If you are not careful, you're teaching them, if you're not teaching them all ways, in fact, the ways that we learned math, and you're using any of the district materials, then you're teaching them Common Core.
Mm.
I mean, that's what it is. So, and, you know, I mean, you're free to teach your child anything that you want, and they have, you know, they do have a district person, and I don't utilize that at all.
That
I didn't
resource.
Want to be accountable at all in any way to the state, and so mine is an out-of-state online academy.
Oh, so you're allowed to do that?
It's fully accredited, and it's
nice.
Great.
You know what? Do me a favor, and when we get done with all this, maybe you could send me a link to what curriculum, easy for me to say, you're using, and we'll put it on there so that people could see that.
I will do that.
I can hear people out there thinking, well, what is it she's using?
Ours is an online Christian academy. It's called Enlightium, and I will send you a link to that. And I really, my son really loves it because he excels at Bible. He's got an eidetic memory. He has a photographic memory.
Nice.
So when he learns Bible scripture, which we do quite a bit of, you know, he has church and he's got two different church groups and youth group and that kind of thing where they do scripture, he already excels at that. So it's great because he gets A's in Bible. So,
nice.
And that doesn't hurt my feelings at all. So I'm very proud of him.
Well, good for him.
And yeah. So, but we do have to be very careful about the online, and also the tutor. He needs a math tutor, and I'm looking for a third party math program, or, you know, a tutor, like a Kumon type thing, in all of, you know, one something like that. And they're Common Core, and you know, they are helping kids to get through what they're doing in the public and private schools that are using Common Core, and then also other ways of they may be approaching it from both directions, but you have to understand that they are learning this Common Core. And if you're going to be an activist against Common Core, I think the last thing you want to do is say, we'll just take a little bit. We'll take Common Core light.
Yeah.
No,
we'll
we're not little, doing that.
Just a little rat poison in our food. It'll work out just fine.
Yeah, really.
Catherine, we have to take one more quick break here before the top of the hour. And then we'll come back with you. And then just to let people know, next hour we're going to kind of move into the vaccine issue a little bit because, you know, once an activist, always an activist, right? So when it comes to children's rights and parental rights.
I want to be an activist.
Yeah, California will bring the activism out in you. And I'm sure there are lots of other states who also have that problem. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Please tell me now. Please, please.
Okay, Catherine, the $64,000 question. Who was that?
Duran Duran.
Oh, you win.
Classic.
Oh, I've never heard that one before.
Bob's funny. He's like, I wonder if she'll know who this is. So we're here with Catherine Duran, not of Duran Duran. That's a very long title. Oh, my gosh. So here in the last few minutes of this hour, give us a sneak preview on the vaccine thing so that people can get through the news and hang with us.
So, well, I am pretty much like everyone. My child is vaccinated. I believed my, you know, even though I was in the health and fitness industry and worked with and in the pharmaceutical industry as well, I knew alternatives as well, and the theory behind vaccination and strengthening immune system and supporting your immune system. So I should have known better. I should have done my research, but I didn't. And thank God that my child is not vaccine injured, but, well, to my knowledge, but I got a little bit worried because his pediatrician had kept asking, insisting that we do boosters and flu shots. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And he'd get mad at me. So eventually I did some research and I'm not liking what I'm seeing. And then I realized on my own, this one didn't really fall in my lap. I actually went looking, on my own and then started realizing that there was an issue. And then when SB 277 popped up,
vaccinate your kids or they can't go to school.
Which
right.
is it is essentially what turns out to be a mandated vaccine if you want your child in public or private school.
Again, it's California stepping up and telling us all what's best for our kids and making it mandatory
one size fits
to
all.
Conform to the rules or you're out.
You will get the shots.
You will get the shots.
And if they're telling you that you're, you know, we know what's best and we want to educate you on what's best for your child, you know, great. Except we're talking about a collective. We're talking about, you know, not necessarily the individual, but we're talking about the protection and the health of the community. So, and, you know, I'm looking at this just exactly the same as with Common Core. I probably should have said, you know, I started speaking out about Common Core. This is, I'm core issue driven and not issue driven. So the issue is not the issue. It could be Common Core, it could be vaccinations, it could be, you know, forced body piercings or, you know, tattoos. The issue is the same. The government doesn't have any business telling me what to do with my body or that of my child. And so I got a phone call one day, hey, can you help me with this? And I really don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I became a vaccine activist.
you fell so right into vaccine activism.
I fell right into it, and my issue is, you know, all about the theft of liberty. And so, I'm looking at the Common Core issue as an issue that catapulted me into the restoration of liberty.
Nice. We're going to come back with Catherine, talk about that some more in the second hour. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, We the People Radio. Dot U.S.